This is Digital Story Podcast number 746, July 7th, 2020. Today's theme is the resurgence of car camping for photographers. I'm Derek Story. Once again, the car has become our sanctuary. As we learn more about airborne transmission of coronavirus, public places become even less appealing than before. The one place outside of our home that we can relax and breathe deeply is in our vehicles. And by extension, car camping may become our most viable alternative for a photography adventure. Here are some tips for a comfortable experience. So I have a fun show for you today. We are going to talk about really camping in your car. I'm going to do the strictest definition of car camping ever, but that's because I want to be able to use interstate rest stops, and they have very specific guidelines for staying there more than a few hours. All right, but we'll get to that in a moment. Before I talk about camping inside your car, in my case, it's going to be an Audi A3, I want to talk about the car that I've been waiting for that would make this even better. And some of you may recall, I've talked about it in the past, just here and there, is the Volkswagen Buzz electric bus. And the reason why I like this car so much is, first of all, it's electric. Second of all, it has a footprint that's reasonable in terms of being able to park, you know, in normal places. So if you want to go to the store, you can park it, right? It's not like, you know, I got this giant thing that it takes me, you know, six back and forth to, you know, get out of a parking spot. Fairly compact, fairly nimble, of course, for this type of vehicle, but yet you can stay inside of it and sleep and dine and just hang out in general. And it even has, it's crazy when you look at the mock-ups of this thing. It even has a table that's on a track that you can move, you know, from the front to the back of the cabin area there, depending on where people are sitting and what they need. So that's what I'm waiting for. Oh, but, you know, I don't even know when I'm going to see it. The last that I read is that they're going to hopefully have it in market in Europe in 2022. So if they do that in 2022, that means that North America is going to be 2023 at the earliest. And here we are at 2020. More waiting, right? More waiting. That's okay. I've got a plan until then, and it just gives me more time to save, right? That's the way I'm going to look at it. But I want it right now. I mean, if there ever was a vehicle designed for a pandemic, it's this thing, and I wish it was out, but it isn't. All right, so let's move on. So what I did was I'm outfitting my Audi for the same purpose. You may also recall that my Volkswagen Vanagon, by the way, is going to be going up for sale. Yes, I'm not using it for this anymore, because I want something a little bit different and something that, you know, here's the thing with the Vanagon, is that I've been working on it and is in good shape right now. It's past smog. Have had a mechanic go through it, and we've done some stuff. I've done some stuff. It's in good shape. But to take it to the next level, to take it to the level that I want it to go, it needs even more work that's really outside the scope of my talents. And I want something that I can drive for 10 or 12 hours and not have to worry about, you know, carrying wrenches and screwdrivers and stuff with me. And so that takes someone that really understands what to do with this. Like my brother-in-law, who was a mechanic for Toyota for years and years, he has a microbus, a VW microbus, and that thing purrs. Well, he knows what to do a lot deeper than I do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell the Vanagon, save the money for the microbus, the electric microbus, when it's ready. In the meantime, I'm using an Audi, which, okay, this is fine, because a lot of you will have vehicles that probably are not smaller than the A3. but at least that size or bigger. So I don't have to worry about giving out ideas that can't be implemented by practically everyone who listens to the show. There's real comfort in that, I tell you. All right. So let's go back to my number one situation for this. And really, the genesis of this whole concept wasn't so much for photo trips. I learned about these techniques going and seeing my mom in Southern California, and now I can apply it to photo trips. So mom came through for me again. She's about 8 hours away in Southern California, and I can drive down. If I leave early in the morning, like 5 o'clock in the morning or 4:30 in the morning, I can actually be there by about 1 o'clock her time. And, you know, we can hang out and have lunch and have, you know, a good part of the day. However, I don't like to leave, you know, when she's, you know, I don't want to leave at 5 in the morning when I come home because, well, she's in bed and she's not getting up for hours. And I just don't want to, you know, like leave and say, well, leave her a note. So I want to wait until, you know, we can have a proper visit and then I'll go, which usually means then that puts me in the middle of the night coming back. And I was going, I don't want to rent a room just, you know, because I'm getting tired, I'm a little road weary, and I had a late start coming back. There's got to be a way to do this better. So I started investigating about what are the rules for interstate rest stops, for example. And I never really, you know, thought about it that much. I mean, I use them all the time. I love them. And California has a good interstate rest stop system. And I started doing some research, and so do many other states as well. And I learned that in California, for example, that if you stay in your vehicle, you can stay at a rest stop for up to 8 hours. In other words, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm running out of energy for driving. The road's starting to jump a little bit. I can pull into a rest stop. I have a clean restroom that is contactless. You know, California rest stops, you don't have to touch anything to get in and out and to use the restroom. I have a contactless restroom. I have vending machines if I need it. And I have, you know, some great parking spots. Truckers use it all the time, so they're there. It's really not a bad situation at all. Catch a few hours sleep, then get back on the road and get home safely. And I don't have to get a motel room just to have a place to sleep. And then plus, I don't have to leave my car and go into another environment that I have to think about. Do I touch these surfaces and all that kind of stuff? So that was sort of the genesis behind all this. So I started researching the rest areas, the interstate rest areas, and they're actually fairly reasonable about what you can do. They say that you can't camp there. All of them say this, that you can't camp there. And they define camping by sleeping outside of your car. So you you can't pull up your car, you know, go to the little grassy knoll, set up your tent, roll out your sleeping bag and go to sleep. Someone will wake you up and tell you that you can't do that. However, you can park and stay in your car and, you know, go to sleep and have the windows cracked and be just fine. So I said, okay, let me think about this in terms of not only the rest stops, but just being on the go in general. For instance, when I'm up in Oregon, there are some great spots along the coast that I would love just to park, get some sleep, wake up in the morning and take pictures and just like be right there, you know, and there are spots that you can do that. So I said, this has so many applications. This is great. I'm really on to something here. So I started refining my system. And you know what happens when I start doing that? I come up with 5 things to make myself more comfortable when I'm traveling this way. So this is motel-less, hotel-less traveling. I probably wouldn't do it for more than a couple nights. 2 nights would probably be max on this, but you know what? You can do a lot of stuff with 2 nights of free accommodations, right? You can. There's a lot of places you can see, a lot of pictures you can take. So I have links for you in the show notes for all sorts of stuff I'm talking about. The first link is going to be rules for interstate rest areas You're going to want to check this. There are some states that do not allow sleeping overnight in rest areas. Fortunately, a lot of states that I like to hang out in do. Nevada does, California does, Arizona does. So there's a lot of places, but you want to check that because wherever you are, you want to make sure you know what the rules are, you know, before you pull in dead tired, right? And then have someone tapping on your window saying, no, you can't sleep here. And you go, now what do I do? Now what do I do? So check out that link in there, all right? So as long as you stay in your vehicle, there's a lot of places you can hang your hat for the night. And I'm not even counting about all the cool places along the coast and all that stuff. We're just talking about, you know, you're going from point A to point B right now. So here are the five things. Here's the first one. Customize your reclining seat. So what I did was on this, I just went to the passenger seat. Now this, I did this at home, right? Because you don't want to do this on the road because you want to have this figured out before you want to get some sleep. So obviously you don't sleep on the driver's side. You got the steering wheel, you got the pedals, you got all that stuff. But the passenger side is pretty good. So what I did was, first of all, I put the seat, the passenger seat, the top of it all the way back to see how far back it goes. Now it doesn't lie perfectly flat, but it's only a slight angle. And I discovered that if I take the seat and I bump it up, you know, I raise the seat up, then that puts it a little higher so that it lies even flatter because it's raising up, it's more on the level of the back seat. Okay, so I bump it up a bit, put it all the way back. And then really the only thing I had to deal with at that point was the difference between where your bum goes and where your back goes, you know, because it is a two-part seat. And so there's a little bit of a, you know, there's a difference in area there. It's not perfectly flat. So I experimented. I got some throw pillows like from a couch. And I said, okay, let me find one that fits perfectly on the seat area here that elevates where my bum goes so that it's at the same level as where my back would go on the reclined seat. And I found a pillow that works great. And then suddenly I go, wow, I have a fairly flat surface here. And it's only slightly elevated for my head, which is fine. And then all I needed was a travel pillow for, you know, my head. And so I'm laying in this thing. I'm laying on my back. It's pretty good. I said, okay, how is it on my side? And it was not bad on my side either. I go, you know what? I've got something here. So all I need is something to pull up over my shoulders. So I have all sorts of, you know, I'm a backpacker and a camper, so I have all sorts of stuff. So I found a camping blanket that's stuffable. So it hardly takes up any space. Stuff it in the back, stays in the hatchback. But worked great for this because you're in the car, and unless you're in freezing weather, you just need something to keep you warm. You still have your clothes on. Please still keep your clothes on this, okay? No sleeping in your, you know, in your nightie for this particular kind of camping. Inside the car, just because if someone taps on your window, you don't want to have your, you know, cowboy pajamas on or anything like that. Just have your clothes on. Pull the, you know, this little blanket or whatever you use. You could use a sleeping bag as well. Up. And I'm in business. So I tested it on my last visit to my mom. I tested it and it worked great. I mean, it worked very well. I slept well. Of course, I was dog tired. And that's, you know, that's something you always have going for you on road trips. You're dog tired. So I was dog tired. I slept well. And then all the stuff that I need to make this a decent bed, this passenger seat a decent bed, fits nicely in the hatchback, you know, along the edge. So it worked out terrific. So this is something that you can play with at home. It goes way beyond just reclining the seat and trying to get some sleep. No, do a little configuration. Elevate where your bottom goes. Try to make it as flat as possible with where the seat goes back. Get yourself a good pillow. Get yourself a little blankie. And you will be surprised at how good you can sleep, how well you can sleep, with these few minor modifications. All right, so that's the first one. Second one, I call it hot coffee in the morning. This is the second one. This is important to my life. And I'm not talking about carrying a thermos around because the thermos is good for about 12 hours and then that's that. I want hot coffee in the morning, not lukewarm coffee in the morning. My go-to kit is a Jetboil Zip camping stove, $68, links in the show notes. And if you've never used one of these, you're going to go ape over it. Really, they are so cool. I got turned on to Jetboil for backpacking because it's light and it just has all one unit and it's so clever. So the gas cartridge fits in the pot where you boil the water, you pull it out, as does the burner. You put them underneath and then you've got this pot and it already has like insulation around it so you don't burn your hands. It's got a really cool lid and you can boil water in just like 2-3 minutes. It is seriously cool. It's this all one unit, very easy to use, and almost all rest areas have picnic benches and picnic tables, so you can just get up in the morning, boil some water, and then I use Starbucks Via instant Italian roast, dark roast coffee for my morning stuff. But I know people that they get the French press attachment for the jet boil, and they have, you know, really, you know, they put the ground coffee in and French press it and drink that. I just don't like the extra mess. So the nice thing about my system is that the jet boil is just boiling water. I pour it into the mug. I pour in my Starbucks Via, and voila, I have a nice cup of coffee, and then I don't have anything to clean, nothing to clean, which I really like on the road. Jet boil camping stoves, as I said, if you've never used one or never looked at one, you have to look at them. They are the coolest thing, and you will use them for all sorts of stuff, even if you think that this particular idea of mine is wackadoodle, you will use it for other stuff as well. All right, so that's the second one, hot coffee in the morning. Third one, I call it charging up. Now, one of the things I really do like about the Audi, first of all, it has an abundance of 12-volt outlets, which I really appreciate. It's got two in the front and it's got one in the back, way back in the hatch. So I can plug all sorts of stuff in and those outlets remain hot even when the engine is off. So I don't have to be running the engine to charge stuff, which is way cool, especially for stuff that doesn't draw very much. It's not going to hurt your battery, but you can charge your phone while you sleep. Very nice, right? Don't have to worry about draining the battery, but you don't have to run the car either, which I just hate. And in fact, boy, I hope the electric bus has the same feature or I'm going to be sad because I'll have to come up with a workaround. So for the Audi, I keep a handful of, you know, the cigarette lighter chargers, the USB chargers, so I can charge the iPad, I can charge my phone, I can charge all that kind of stuff. And then I also have, in my case, I have a Potec 500-watt power inverter, DC 12-volt to 110-volt AC car converter with digital display. This is a $39 device, but this actually gives me real outlets if I need them. Now, generally speaking, I only use the Potec when the engine is running because it is drawing more stuff, but it also allows me to charge the laptop if I need to. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I'm on these road trips, I'm using the iPad much more than the laptop. I do bring the laptop in case I need it. And, you know, a 13-inch MacBook Pro these days doesn't take up a whole lot of space. However, the iPad's much easier to use in the car. It's much easier to use everywhere. Mine has, you know, built-in cellular and Wi-Fi. So, you know, I can just do whatever I need to do. And with iPad OS, then, you know, the web browser behaves like a regular web browser on a computer. So I can, you know, go into WordPress or whatever I need to do. So generally speaking, I'm using the iPad most of the time, which means I can charge that with the cigarette lighter to USB charger. But I do have a nice array of goodies for charging stuff. Keep it right there in the glove box. And I am charged up all the time. I have no problem running out of juice on the road. You just need a few little accessories. Get this all worked out before you leave. Test it and make sure that you have everything you need. But I tell you, iPads are fabulous for these types of trips. Okay, the next thing is keeping it cool. So I tell you, it wouldn't be a road trip without a few cold refreshments stashed away. Plus maybe some string cheese and some other goodies like that too. Hands down, my favorite affordable storage container for this sort of thing is the eBags Crew Cooler 2. Crew Cooler 2. It's $55. And this is a really nice bag. It's about twice the size of an eBag lunch bag. So, you know, you can put a lot of stuff in it. I can put enough stuff in it easily for 2 days on the road. But yet, it's like shoebox shaped. And so it fits just about everywhere in the car. It'll fit in the back in the hatch. It'll fit behind a seat on the floor, which is a really nice spot. It's a great spot to have your cooler. It fits everywhere. So this thing is really, really terrific. It's made so durable, so rugged, really well made, sharp looking. It's very well designed. And then the other thing that I like about it is that it has dry pockets as well. So the main area is the insulated area where, you know, you put your cool stuff and you put however you keep them cool in there with it. And you zip it all up and they stay nice and cool. But it has a big dry pocket on top. That's the whole area of the lid. Has a dry pocket in front and has dry pockets on the sides. So that you can keep your granola bars, you can keep nuts, you can keep silverware, you can keep, you know, the wine cork opener, you can keep all that stuff. You have places to keep all that stuff. So you basically just have one bag to pick up and carry out to the picnic bench, or if you're just eating there in the car, you just have one bag that has all of your utensils, that has your napkins, has your cool stuff, has everything that you need, but yet it fits everywhere. Really nice, really nice. And I had my first one, still have it, for years. I mean, I'm talking like 8 or 9 years now, and it looks as good today after many, many road trips as it did when I got it, and I got a second one as well. So I have two of them now. I just love these bags, and the dry pockets really help make it a versatile bag. Has a shoulder strap, has a nice handle. Take a look at it. Again, I have the link to it in the show notes. And then finally, the fifth thing, which is I touched on before, which is where you can stay and for how long. You know, part of this depends on what kind of trip it is. If you're just trying, like in my case, to get down to mom's and back in good shape, then interstate rest stops are fabulous for this because you're not really looking for scenery. You're not really looking for a photo op. You want to map those out ahead of time so you know how many rest stops you have along the way. You know about, well, if I leave mom's house at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I have a rest stop waiting for me at 7 o'clock in the evening if I need it, and another one at 9 o'clock if I need it, you know, that kind of thing. But then there are also all sorts of places that you're allowed to park and stay overnight. Sometimes they have fees, sometimes not, in all sorts of beautiful places. And you can scout those out ahead of time as well. So the way that I do it is that it's not that I'm necessarily saying I'm going to stay at this spot or that spot or this spot, but it's that I know where those spots are. I have a list. You know, I have this information so that while I'm on the road, I can make these decisions on the fly, especially if I start to feel tired. I can make these decisions on the fly. I can go to my list and go, oh, there's one an hour away. I can make it an hour, no problem. Or I can get to this spot in an hour and a half, get some sleep, and then be there to photograph the sun when it's coming up in this beautiful location, right? You know, Coos Bay, whatever it happens to be. So scouting these things out ahead of time and just realizing that there are abundance of places that you can stay without having to get out of your car, and that is perfectly okay. It's perfectly legit. And this was a real eye-opener for me when I started researching this. I go, wow, this is kind of neat. This is so unlike government to let me do this, right? This is something that I would do, okay? So get those scouted out ahead of time so you know where your sleeping opportunities are that won't cost you any money. All right, so those are the five. Customize your reclining seat. Make it as comfortable as possible. You will thank me the next morning. Hot coffee in the morning, or cocoa or tea, whatever your thing is, but have a portable system so you can heat up some water. Also great for soup and other things like that. Charging up, make sure you've got your chargers in order And if you're using an iPad or a tablet, then that is really a nice way to go. You can keep it charged and it's easy to use on the road, and you have connectivity practically wherever you are. Keeping it cool, I love the eBags Crew Cooler too. It is fabulous. It is just absolutely wonderful. And then I map out, number five, map out all the places I can stay and for how long. I have that dialed in. So if anyone asks me any questions, I go, yeah, I can. I got here at 5 o'clock. I can stay here for, you know, however many more hours, four more hours, whatever it happens to be. Do that. And you know what? Suddenly, you can get away. You can get away and be safe. You're going to have your mask with you, your face covering. You're going to have your hand sanitizer with you. And you can go practically anywhere that you want safely. You're not harming others. You're not putting yourself in danger. You can go take some pictures. You can go visit people. You can do stuff. By the way, if you visit people, you know, you got to do social distancing and visit with them outside. Outside, I say. Visit with them outside, social distancing with your mask on, but you can visit folks, or you can just go get some fresh air, take some pictures, and recharge your batteries. I hope you found this interesting. I'm going to keep noodling on it, and cross your fingers that the electric bus, the Volkswagen Buzz, gets here sooner than later. Don't make me wait to 2025 for it, okay? Please. Here's an interesting interview that was in Amateur Photographer. I have the link to it in the show notes so you can read the whole interview. I'm going to just give you a couple tidbits from it. The title of it is Olympus Has Not Fallen, Exclusive Olympus UK Interview. And it starts out like this. Don't panic. Business is pretty strong. Olympus UK's Mark Thackeray gives wide-ranging interview. As you can imagine, there's lots to talk about. So he's the marketing brand manager for Olympus UK and a 35-year veteran of the company. And he met with amateur photographers Nigel Atherton and Jeff Harris to cast more light on what's been going on, answer questions about past strategy and future developments, and explain why going full frame still doesn't make sense for them. Okay, so this is a pretty cool interview. I'm going to read you two questions and give you two answers. I found these particularly interesting to me. Here's the first question that I want to read you, which was later on in the interview. How do you respond to negative speculation online about Olympus's future? And the answer is, I also see a lot of positive comments online. If you want to be able to take your camera in a bag, on a plane, with a good range of lenses, the benefits of our system are very clear. The argument about full frame will carry on forever. It's no different from cars. If you want a Land Rover Defender, you will buy one. But if you want something more compact that you can easily park in town, you will buy a Mini or a VW Electric Buzz. He didn't say that. That's my interjection. Anyway, back to Mark. Nobody can promise that Olympus will be here in 100 years' time, as you can't say that for any other brand. What I can say is that we have seen the product roadmap, including the new lens one, and it's very exciting. The company won't be bringing out new lenses if they didn't believe in the system. We are quietly positive. Okay, so that was the first QA. So here's the second one. So, what are your final messages to current Olympus owners or prospective customers who might be worried about expanding their system or buying into it? Mark's answer, don't panic. As far as we're concerned, it is business as usual. Businesses change hands and flourish, so there's no reason that this won't be the case here. I have been through all sorts of ups and downs in my 35 years with Olympus. Our basic technology and core proposition are still very good. So I thought you might get a kick out of this, especially those of you who shoot with Olympus, myself included there. And it's really worth going over. I got the link in the show notes to take a look at the rest of the interview where they talk about more specifics. You know, they're asking about some of the decisions they made in the past, all that kind of stuff. It's good stuff, some really good food for thought. And actually, I think might make you feel a little bit better if you're a Micro Four Thirds fan. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club business here. First of all, I want to thank our Patreon members, our Inner Circle members, for supporting this community, supporting this podcast. Guess what's happening tomorrow? We have the first installment of digitizing and cataloging your vinyl, cassette, and CD music. Yes, and installment number one is going to be with compact discs. And you may think that you already know everything there is to know about moving compact discs off the shelf and into your computer library. However, if you haven't done it for a while, a number of things have changed. And I cover all those things. I thought it was fascinating. You know, when I first started working on the compact disc movie, you know, I thought, well, this is going to be a nice warm-up, a nice slam dunk, and then we'll get to the heavy-duty stuff with vinyl and cassette tapes. Wow. And suddenly, I'm about a third into my research, and I'm going, this is really interesting. This is really fascinating. And one of the things that happened is I became a big fan of compact discs while I was working on this first movie because, you know, the audio quality is good. The recordings are good. You have some very nice artwork to work with. A lot of times you have supplemental information on the inside. And then after you transfer it to your computer, you still have like this master disc that we don't know exactly how long it'll last, but I have discs that are quite old, well over a decade, that sounded just fine without any problems. So there is a lot to this. The main thrust of this first movie is that you might not be listening to this music that you've already purchased or that you already own just because it isn't as convenient as going to your online library or going to Amazon Music or Pandora or Apple Music or whatever you happen to use. You might be missing out on some really good stuff. And if you start listening to it more, you're going to go, wow, I really like this. I haven't heard it for so long. And it's easy to bring into your library. I give you the steps. You can get the artwork. You can get everything and get it all queued up. And it's a good feeling. So that's the first one. For our Inner Circle members, it's available tomorrow, July 8th, by the time I go to bed. I don't know exactly when, but I'll do a post on Patreon when it's ready, and I'll have the link and the password and everything that you need for this first one. It's only going to be available to our Inner Circle members for the first week or two. Once I get the second one ready, which is going to be on vinyl, it'll probably take me another 2 weeks with that one, then I'll start to move the content over into our Nimble Photographer site where the online workshops are, where you already have digitizing family memories and you already have video conferencing like a pro. You have those there, and we're going to add, you know, this music title to those. But for the first couple of weeks, it's going to be Patreon members only, and it won't cost them anything. Whereas once it goes to our Nimble Photographer, those folks will have to pay. The way I like to put it is a nominal fee to download it. Okay. It's worth every penny. I'll tell you that right now. So if you want to get in on this, and if you want to start getting those compact discs off the bookshelf and into your iPhone, into your Google phone, into whatever you happen to be using, into your computer, into your tablet, and start enjoying that music again, then, you know, sign up to be an Inner Circle member. You can do that by clicking on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Existing Patreon members, you've got it dialed in. Just wait, you know, just wait for the post to show up. But I'm hoping that some of you will sign up and partake in this project. We have three parts to it. This is the first part. Second part is vinyl. Third part will be cassette tapes. It's all going to be free to Patreon members. And it's really fun. I'm telling you, I am having a blast with this. Thank you so much to all of our Inner Circle members for supporting this podcast. I so appreciate it. I want to mention that we have affiliate links in the show notes. And this week I have a few more than usual because we're talking about all this cool gear for in-car camping. And those links in that particular case go to Amazon, because all this stuff is available on Amazon. And if you click on one of those links, then, and you buy one of these things, then that helps us. That helps support the site, and it's really a good thing. But just in general, if you're going to buy something from B&H, something from Amazon, you know, we have tiles in the second column on all the pages of the digital story. If you click on those first and then do your shopping, that helps support the site. And the links that are in the show notes or in articles, those are affiliate links, and you click on those, that also helps support this podcast. Just want to mention that to you. If you're thinking about buying, you know, something really wonderful that I've been talking about, especially if it's a whole system, then if you would do this first, then that is a really good way that you can contribute to this community the way that so many members are currently doing so. And finally, I want to give a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, one-stop shopping for all of your inkjet printing needs. Can paper be exciting? It can if it's some of the stuff that you can get at Red River. Paper that looks like paper that we haven't seen since the darkroom days. Paper that has a metallic surface to it. Yes, that you can run through your inkjet printer. Paper that has this wonderful matte feel to it, you know, cotton paper that's just archival. Paper that is good enough for museum work, and it actually is in museums. They have all of that there. Plus, they have everything that goes with it. They have the envelopes, they have the ink, they have the tutorials, they have the reviews. Making prints is a beautiful thing. Making fine art cards is a beautiful thing. Get that feeling of satisfaction. Click on the Red River tile that's on every page of the digital story. Go over there and see what's going on. And don't forget about their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you get out and maybe experience a little life safely. Oh, that would make me feel so good. Come back and join me next week. There's some big stuff going to be coming down the pike. Can't talk about it right now, but I will be able to next week. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.